Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Asian American and Asian Research Institute's lecture series. I'm John Chin, Dean of the Institute. Thank you for joining us for tonight's screening and discussion of the short film Elijah by Razid Season. Razid is an award-winning Bengali filmmaker known for socially conscious stories that explore identity, history, and marginalized voices. Born in Abu Dhabi and raised in Dhaka, and now based in New York, his work bridges cultural and religious perspectives with contemporary issues. His acclaimed short film, Kaddish, recognized as one of the first Holocaust short films made by a filmmaker of Muslim background, has received international attention, broadcast exposure, and inclusion in the visual history of the Holocaust. It was also the winner for Best Fiction Film at the Institute's 2020 CUNY Asian American Film Festival. Razid has also served as a juror for the Plural Plus Youth Film Festival, an initiative of the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations and the International Organization for Migration. Tonight's film, Elijah, continues his commitment to telling urgent, human-centered stories. He is currently developing his first feature-length film set in mid-1980s New York. All right, looking forward to seeing that. Please welcome Razid Season.
Okay, I know you will have a lot of questions after you watch this film, so I'll be feel free to ask me any questions and don't hesitate. And thank you for inviting me and for this screening. And I'm really honored to be here because my film, as John said, Kaddish, it won a award here in 2020, in the middle of pandemic. So the festival was online. So this is my first time here, actually being here in person. So thank you, Anthony. Thank you, John. And thanks for coming here. I hope you enjoy the film.
And thanks so much for this my analogy that I love. When you change the tide, by not showing the silence, the dialogue, mm-hmm. and the spoken stage, other characters' faces, and obviously, as an actor, if you're a good actor, you have something going on, and the audience was so lit. So I really worked that. In the take, in dealing with the subject matter, sometimes too much talking was kind of like a kid. So I really liked that he trusted the actors and the science, especially the faces and the bones.
Right, thank you. Yeah, I usually make films that they are short, so I really don't focus on so many dialogues because it also distracts. But this is a style of, that I choose when I make film because I believe this also gives a lot of space, as you said, to the actors, otherwise it's not going to be, justified for an actor. They can show something. They can surprise you. And as an audience, you also find a connection when you see all these expressions, like they are nonverbal, but you feel the pain. You have an empathy for the character, and you connect. So yeah, thank you.
How did you get the shot of the taxi riding through Times Square, that area? Like, how did you get that?
Oh, I mounted the we mounted the camera in front of the car, so we had a mount, and the camera was, so we had to get that rig, which can hold a heavy camera, and because when you are driving, it may shake,
right.
and it was, and also it's very crowded Times Square, because if you miss one shot, you have to go through all the streets and you come back. To match the continuity, if you think you want to do this shot here for whatever reason, then you have to come back. We had to do that actually. We spent the whole shift for only one scene in Times Square.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
I'm curious about how you choose your subject matter. So your other film was Ebish, and this film is about a trans child in a Saudi family. What inspires you to choose
published?
Okay, the first thing, the person, Elijah, actually, I know the person. It's a real person. And I actually worked for that person 2 years during the pandemic at H&H, health and hospital. And the person was also voluntarily chose later to continue his schooling in an in-person, inpatient facility, government facility, like it's a psychiatric behavioral health clinic. So I actually work closely with that person, with his providers, therapists, and the tough job was the parents, who did not understand how a biological female is claiming who has the womanly, you know, the moon time and all, and how the biological woman is claiming that to be man. So, you know, I understand this, like, someone is going through the crisis and the real person, Elijah, jumped off the bridge and then came to the emergency. It's called CPAP. And then once you were a teenager, you come to this kind of unit, then it's a whole lot of government intervention. And, you know, and so the mom was very emotional there. We see in film, mom took time to accept it. But for real Elijah, mom was accepting, because even she did not understand what's going on. She just didn't want to lose her child. But I tried to educate them. In the beginning, I was kind of a demonic figure to them, like who is trying to, you know, and they didn't welcome me. You go. We don't need your service. We don't need free thing. Go. But slowly, I didn't give up, you know, because I did work actually for a lot of people, from even Burma. LGBTQ people, they don't understand. They have these feelings. They think this is abnormal. And they come to see a doctor. Can you give me a medication? Maybe I can be straight. So I did work for a lot of refugees too. During the pandemic, I also worked for the COVID people, you know, different sites. So my involvement with the subject, and I was moved, I think, I'm from the same background, and when it comes to people, the media content, you see talking about these Asian people, South Asian people, you would probably see they are not accepting. That's going to be the very cliche one. You're going to see, oh, this is a Muslim person, it's a Hindu person, whatever it is, out of religious belief or whatever, you know, belief is, and they're going to reject the child and abandon the child. But, you know, the true thing is nobody talks about the acceptance. And I know many people, well, in the beginning, they probably have a lot of questions they don't understand, but at the end, they would accept. And I have worked personally. So I said, nobody talks about this, right? So that's why I made this film. As you said, my earlier project was about the Holocaust. It's also about the Ashkenazi Jewish, very minority, Polish, they had a specific dialect. Well, people who understand, so they will understand it was in Yiddish. The film was in Yiddish. But before that, I also made a film in Arabic. And we see an Egyptian immigrant came to New York, and she had question about her freedom, like how to choose dress or not, and because she was being dominated by her husband. And she thinks, you know, the women here I see, they have their freedom to choose whatever they want. And then she raised a question in herself, and she had a conflict. So I made different kind of films, you know, especially I make films that touches me, or somehow I'm involved, or I know I work for these people, or somehow I think, you know, that's how I mean, I try to make something because they are very independently made. I want to make something that is unique and tells your story. It's not my personal story. Yeah.
I really appreciated your ending. because you broke the cliche.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here wanting more, because I would love to have seen an actual response within that room. Because the father showed a great deal of pride. And I think it's very difficult part of that kind of situation to know either your friend.
Yeah.
And you're teaching them.
Yeah.
And but I think you were focused more on the sound.
Yeah, I mean, also we see subtle reactions. Camera was on the bride's face, and she did not take it very well. Son, she was. And the man friend, the taxi driver's friend, the guy who was also in the at the restaurant, and he was with another friend. They were teasing these people. So I gave this little clue. You know, it is kind of maybe the father was taking pride in it. And, you know, for Salvations, I'm telling you the real thing. I had a screening in Cincinnati. It's a Salvation Film Festivals. And I had around, I saw around like 40, 45 audience members there. They are all like senior people, like 65 plus, that kind of, you know. And there were, I haven't seen any young person in the audience. So they had 3-4 films in the same group. They screened shorts, documentary. Everybody clapped after, you know, the film was finished. But nobody clapped for mine. And I was so, that is intimidating, you know. I said, oh my God, I came to a wrong crowd, you know. They are like from my background. They are like, we South Asian play a role all the time. Like, if you were a stranger to me, I don't know you, I found you socially on the street, I will call you auntie, I will call you uncle, I will call you sister, and you have to act accordingly. You have to be a mentor on the street. Do this, and you will use, like, in English, we don't have that, the pronouns, like, you use tu, you know, not vu, you know, and even you don't know me. So I thought, like, these people gonna, and then they're gonna burst into what kind of film. After this screening, all of these individuals came to me individually, just talked to me to congratulate, and then they say their daughter came out as lesbian in 2007. Somebody said, it's a very sad thing, she lost her daughter to suicide, and she was crying. So I see most of them had like LGBTQ members in their family. So one thing they did not want to clap, they did not want to expose themselves as supporter of this to another homie. So it's a South Asian mentality, you know. So I understand that, I understood that, you know, I said this is how gonna, you know, otherwise I was thinking maybe they didn't like the film. Actually, they liked the film.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just South Asian. No, I think.
Yeah.
I think it easily crosses culture.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
That's what I like about it. We tend to want to separate one another instead of knowing this is a universal issue.
It's an universal issue, and many of these things happen because of the ignorance. They don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
ignorant.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Malicious.
Right. So, I had a screening. I had also a screening in Roslyn on Long Island. So there was a lady, and she was white, and she did not like the ending, and she was like screaming, and then she was escorted out by the security. So I had that kind of situation too. So this, as you said, this is a universal issue, and this happens. It's not, doesn't belong to only South Asians or Jews or Muslims. It's universal, you know. And just they need to learn and accept how, you know, how they will understand this issue and how they will deal when somebody comes out as one of these, a member of the LGBTQ.
It wasn't about whether or not they agreed. The family made a decision.
Yeah, so it is,
and
like,
it showed up as a complete family.
Right. It is a huge courage for someone, as I was talking about that Cincinnati thing, right, screening. If you say, my daughter is this, it's my son, or my son is gay, and you are announcing out loud in public to your people, So this is a huge courage, matter of courage. You know, if they accept, you know, they will hate you probably now, because they know, you know. So, but it's a matter of pride of the of father.
Is it hatred or is it fear? I mean, how can you hate when somebody makes a choice to go? You don't have to like it, right? But that doesn't mean you don't have to respect it. And I think that's what you're filled with. It's filled with respect.
Much of the hatred that we say phobia, actually is much more, it has a lot of phases. The first phase is like they feel gross. LGBTQ, right? It's gross. You want to just take a shower, probably you feel gross. You know, that kind of thing. The second thing, you know, they want to just stay out of you. You know, they don't want to come close to you. It's not you are untouchable, but they think maybe you are not akin to that person for whatever reason. The third thing is the extreme part. Like, they want to hurt you. They want to follow you. I have a friend. She is trans woman. She was attacked many times by unknown guy on the street, and police couldn't find. I said, you have to find out. I think maybe it is someone who knows you from the past. And then she found out it's a high school guy. Actually, he used to be a classmate. And he saw this was a male in the past. Now it's a female. I know her as a female. I don't know the past. So she is, to me, she will always be a woman.
I love how you also included the taxi driver crisis. Mm-hmm. You talked about that background and how it emphasizes. It gave a lot of depth to the movie and the setting and the time. And also it kind of showed that, you know, there's all these other struggles that people deal with, and, you know, family and community having to work together when times are tough. But then, and that kind of raises the stakes of, well, are you going to be accepted by your family, especially when you maybe need them or you need help, you know? And it's I just thought that added a lot of dimension to it.
Yeah, so I put this intentionally, like father is in the same shoe. Losing friends, best friends to suicide, mm-hmm. and father wants to accept the child that he loves more than his life itself, mm-hmm. and no matter what it is. You know, there was a film in 1968 made by Roman Polanski, Rosemary's Baby. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so baby actually was a ghost or something. There's to mother, yeah, to mother, devil, to mother is baby, you know? So that's the thing. I volunteer some of these folks, taxi drivers. You know, once upon a time, you saw Martin Scorsese made a film called Taxi Driver. Roberto De Niro was the actor. Actually, Italian used to drive. So generation change. Now you see South Asians, maybe 20 years after, some group will come and take it. You know? So, but the idea is that the medallion was, $2 million, right? And then they scammed individual immigrants, said, we are selling American dreams, right? So it was the idea of American dreams. You want to have a good life, a house, stable income, you know, and the happiness that you think you can achieve in America. But on the other hand, they also demonize these people. The coyotes are coming, mm-hmm. right? And then they scam you. Also, they make you a subject of hatred. You know, I go out, somebody can call out any name on me. They don't know what I do, but they would think I am one of the coyotes, right? But also, they target this kind of immigrants, luring this American dream. Nobody talks about, tells their story. You know, you see, in the movies, I'm criticizing this. I know churches, few churches, fathers are Bengali from my background. And the parish is completely different, white people. If you see a Hollywood movie showing New York, I'm not talking about the other parts of the United States. It's a very diversified area. And you see your father, you see your probably, I'm not hating white. I'm just saying it's not reflecting what we see in the society. You see a Netflix father, and you see it's a white father. Have you ever seen a Bengali father? I know 5 of them work here in Queens. And I know a few in the Bronx. So, the cliche thing, you know, I mean, nobody tells this story. Probably you will see people like me as the halal food seller on the street sidewalk. If it comes to East Asian, probably they are concubines, right? That is a, if it is Arab, Southwest Asia, maybe he is a jihadist going to blow you. So these are the assigned characters for us here. You know, I don't blame them. I tell everybody's story. As you see, I made a film, Kaddish, which is, I also made a film in, Al-Malik Al-Kamim. It was in like about a Holocaust survivor. So I made different, whatever connects me. I don't see the ethnicity and races, but nobody tells when it comes to certain ethnicities and races. I think it's very biased here. It's very biased in the United States.
I think there's a global bias. I think I get a lot of traveling. And culture, human beings have issues with differences. It's one of the things that being in what we do, in the work that we do, that you do, that's why you've done 3 very different films. Because you obviously experienced and traveled enough to know there are a lot of different people, but they share the fact that there's humanity.
Yeah.
And how do we break into that humanity so that it becomes more expressed across the village, not within them? So you used a term earlier that I don't know. If you give us a K, Kaddish, I know.
Yeah.
You were referring back to the ethnic conscience,
the Jewish prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the prayer for the dead.
No. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
Referencing, I think, Southeast Asian groups of people, but I have never heard a term that is used. And is it maybe from where the area you're from?
Coyote? Coyote is a Trump. Trump used that all the time. Coyote. Coyote, yeah.
Like a smuggler.
It's a...
That's what you were referencing.
Yeah. Coyote, yeah. It's an exonym, but it's an English word. It's a name for us, like also Mexicans. Yeah. Coyote.
You get that thrown at you.
I know people always face this kind of, the slurs.
Yeah, exactly.
When president used that.
Yeah, in the same vein as like raccoons.
Raccoons, yeah, it's a type of fox.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a type of fox. Actually, it's my favorite. One. There is a cartoon, actually. You know that. What's that? Looney Tunes, yeah, right? And the big nose, and he wants to catch the Roadrunner. Roadrunner. And that one, it's very cute. I love that, you know.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, I have these are self-funding to see some of the supporters, but there were not much money there. I spent a lot of time. Because I can take this risk, I don't have any expectations. For this film, actually, I did not have any expectations, you know. Because I'm not gonna submit to festivals. If I do submit, probably it's not gonna be selected. You know, but it was actually, it got 10 awards. And it got like 12 newspaper reviews, like printed and online, like total also. Yeah, so I thank all of my actors here. Mom is here. Dave, Johnny. Yeah. And, yes, I'm working on more projects, as I said, when I have the feature length, and which is setting in 1985. I have an animation short, which is based on Bengal famine, we could go back to 1943. It's an animation project. Yeah, so, and I see my friend Ed Moran. Actually, he wrote a review also in Cinema Daily. So he's a veteran film reviewer. So it's my honor to have this kind of review. Thanks for coming here. And Helene actually is a casting director. She is sitting next to you. Yeah. Any more questions? And if you want to say something, Devi, you can come.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the season issue. You've talked about the theme and the characters as actors, but I wanted to ask you about the music you chose and how you worked with the Basher Faisal on the tape. And it's beautiful. And you're leading into Indian classical. And what was your thought and what did you...
So the music was, you know, you can choose. I chose the, you know, I work with I found him actually. He's Bengali too. He's from Kolkata, but I was asking for sitar. So I found another lady. She is a musician too, but she is a zitarist. You know, zitar? Sitar is another identical sitar. Maybe few strings are different.
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. She's amazing. When I found her, and then I said, you know, I will connect you with my music director, and maybe you can do the last scene. So she had a team who plays the tablas and all these things. They did really good job for the last one, and I had to review like 3 times. I had some notes, and then it was done. Then I had another music director. I had 2 music directors, one from Italy. Yeah, so he had to work with the Bengali guy, because the Bengali guy was a student already, I think he was in his final year, and he was not able to understand like how to, you know, sing this music and, you know, and control the volume and all these things. For film is very different. So yeah, so you know, he does not play sitar. Yeah, he does not play sitar, but well, that's how it's Bengali classic too, you know. But you know, if you go Eastern Bengal, has some other types of genres like Bhatiyali and all. But for this film, for the sake of the wedding scene, they don't go with that.
Yeah.
You know, it is you need like Ravi Shankar, Bengali guy, and his ustad, his master was in which today in Kumilla. Ayat Ali Khan and Akbar Ali Khan. And he got married to the daughter of Ayat Ali Khan, Roshan Ara, who became later, who changed her name, Annapurna Devi. Yeah. So they all mix the same thing, you know? Yeah. Now the political borders dividing, you know, that's why you call your part India. But India is a big thing. Someone say, I'm Chinese. It's a big thing. That's why I was talking to, I was telling Anthony, I met someone, a director of Asian American Center, and she said, I'm from Malaysia. And I said, are you Han? Or she said, no, I'm Hakka. So you probably don't know what is Hakka and Han. You know, so we have thousands of ethnicities, like groups and tribes there. You know, and Myanmar have 135. Bangladesh has 68. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. So it's better to say, so that's why I'm saying India is like a political state, Bangladesh, but this, we share, like from West Bengal, we share the same culture. I do have a website, my name, Razid, R-A-Z-I-D, and season, SEASON.com, RazidSeason.com. And with the film also on, it's called Letterboxd. like online letterbox. You can find it. Somebody added it, some audience, I don't know, and I recently discovered. If you have a letterbox account, you can, like, it's a free account, you can leave a review, short review, your feedback, good or bad, whatever it is. And it's also on IMDb. If you have an IMDb account, you can leave. Yeah, you can leave a comment there too. And if you want to be involved, or if you want to be a mentor, for example, you look like you're a senior filmmaker, feel free to contact and shoot me an email, and I'll be in touch. Yeah, and thank you for coming. And I really appreciate this. Thank you, John. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Debbie. Helen, and thank you all. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Razid. That was a wonderful film, and thank you for the Q&A. So have a great summer. We look forward to seeing you in the fall for our next lecture. How about another round of applause for our film?